Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's mid-morning show with Omboy Mboro. The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
Here at Hope FM, as we get to the Leadership Forum, let me introduce our guests. Our guest properly. Sitting in for Bishop David Oginde, who is away on assignment out of this country. And with us then is Dr. Jane Miner, a medical doctor specialized in anesthesia and formerly a senior medical specialist, as well as head of anesthesia and critical care department at the Kenyatta National Hospital. Upon retirement from there, she has pursued an MMA, that's a master's in clinical psychology, and currently is a consultant with Nisikize. That Nisikize is a leading psychological company in Nairobi. She, Jane, Dr. Jane, is also a consultant with Catalyst on mental health training for leaders. Her interests are in the areas of anxiety, depression, personality and addiction disorders, mental health disorders in general, with adverse childhood experiences of trauma, as well as stress. Very interesting. Just reading through her introduction, and a big warm welcome to Hope FM, Dr. Jane Miner.
Thank you, Reverend Wamboy.
How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for having me in
we
the
are
studio.
Grateful. Yes. We are grateful, and I'm looking forward to how to talk about mental health in the Leadership Forum.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking about the mind of a leader, actually,
yes.
With the Bishop. We began that, then we kind of took a break when he went on assignment, so that Kingston Ogango did something around the youth and leadership. Very interesting topic. It was the last time we were here. So when we talk about the mental health of a leader, it's like we've gone back to where we had left it with Bishop, the mind of a leader. Mental health now.
Yes.
Really, that's a kind of medical, psychological term, the mental health of a leader. And let me just ask, why is this an important topic for us when we're thinking about leadership?
Mental health and issues of the mind are very important, because when you have a good mind, you're able to do a lot, even for the leaders. We cannot trust leaders who do not have a good mental health, because in the first place, their productivity will be questionable. They won't be able to interact with people. And also the fact that they are our leaders, we look up to them to set up an example for us. So even their focus and their contribution in the mental health, not only for themselves, but also for the country, is very significant. Yes.
So this is important.
Mental health issues are very important, because what happens, when you look at the literature, it is actually said before people manifest with physical health, usually they have issues with mental health.
Mm.
It comes before. But because most of the people don't notice, by the time they are getting to the doctors with hypertension, diabetes, and other issues that we'll look at later, if you ask them, what has been your life like in the last 3 or 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely they'll talk of stressful issues in their lives. But because they maybe were not aware of maybe the anxieties, the depression, and the issues of concern that they were going through that manifest in psychological symptoms, kind of they get ignored. But then now when you start having headaches, or and you go to the doctor and you're told you have high blood pressure, that one you take seriously.
Mm.
But mental health usually are not taken as seriously as they ought to. And if they were taken seriously as they ought to, they would mitigate a lot of physical illnesses that are being seen around.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, there's someone who has said, I think it keeps being repeated out here in the streets, that all of us have some issue here and there with our mental health. It's a degree that matters. Would you agree with that?
I think what they are trying to say is all of us go through stress. And stress has a very big impact on our mental health. It is now how you deal with your stress mm-hmm. that you depend on the degree on your mental health
uh-huh.
more often than not.
Uh-huh.
So if you have like stressful exams, we all go through stressful exams.
Mm.
But while you are going through stressful exams, we prepare well. Of course, you feel a bit stressed, but then when you're done with the exam, you're okay.
Yes.
But then when you look at, sometimes one goes through a very, very stressful issue, like COVID-19 itself
uh-huh.
was very, very stressful for people.
For all of us.
Yeah, for all of us, but not to the same extent.
Not to the same degree.
That degree, because if you didn't get COVID or you didn't have a relative who had COVID or a friend who had COVID, then maybe it didn't affect you as much as if you had COVID or
yes.
you have a relative who had COVID or died of COVID
sure.
or had to lose a job, you had to lose a job with COVID, that's another level of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And how to cope with that. And how to cope with that, depending on your coping mechanisms and the support that you have from others.
All right.
Yes, so the statement is right in a way.
When we think of it as stress.
It's a level... and the level and how we manage it.
All right.
Yes.
I am going to just let you take us through what you have prepared to share with us today as we think of leadership. And really, all of us are in some way leaders. So as we think of the mental health of a leader, yes, we will be looking at others who we think are leaders because of their positions, but we shall also be looking at ourselves because we all are leaders. Even if it's to my little sister, I'm a leader. Even if it's to my child, I'm a leader. Even if it's to my peers, if I'm in primary school, I'm still a leader. So let's give you the chance now and take us through.
Yes, everybody's a leader. And it's important for all of us to take care of our mental health at whatever level, even as you see the children, the adults, the elderly, and everybody. But this being an electioneering year, I think I really want to focus on our public leaders and especially those in the political arena, because there's a lot more that is going on with them, more than other leaders are experiencing, and more than even each one of us. So what I'm going to look at is, first of all, the definition of what mental health is.
All right.
Yeah, because it's important for us to be on the same page. Mental health is defined by the WHO, the World Health Organization, as a state of well-being whereby individuals and leaders, the focus on leaders, recognize and realize their abilities and are able to cope with normal stresses of life. They work productively and fruitfully and make contribution to their community. And I think I mentioned this earlier when you asked me the question on the importance of mental health. This definition emphasizes that mental health is more than the absence of mental illness. You don't have to be mentally sick. With mental illness, of course, we say you're mentally ill, but to looking at the state of well-being in mental health, you don't have to have a mental illness, okay? The mental health includes the emotional, the psychological, and social well-being. Mental health affects how we think, how we feel, and how we act. And it determines how we handle stress, as we have already discussed, and it relates it affects how we relate to others and how we make choices. Now I'll define stress because mm-hmm. we've talked about stress. Stress refers to any circumstances that threatens one's well-being and thereby overwhelms one's coping abilities, as I had already mentioned. And just a brief about what the stress mechanism is. In response to stress, any stressful event, the body's mechanism of flight or fight is activated, and this involves the body's sympathetic autonomic system, and two hormones are responsible for this, the adrenaline and the cortisol. So, as I had said, there is stress that really doesn't affect us, and that one we call eustress. But the stress that we are going to concern ourselves more with is a chronic stress, which is very distressful. And in this one, there is continued activation of the stress response system, where there is wear and tear of the body, and this affects our physical, emotional, and behavior. And the symptoms of chronic stress are related to the physical, the emotional, and the behavior. As we are looking at stress, we are going to focus in a way on what stress looks like for the political leaders currently. We all know that we have very high expectations of them, and that is stressful for them. And not just the leaders that are campaigning, but also the leaders who are already there. One of the things about leadership, most often than not, the political leaders, is that they want to provide, but they have limited resources to deliver. Remember, when they are campaigning, they usually come with a kind of "yes, we can" slogan. Mm-hmm. But post-election, I think we hear more of the excuses of why we couldn't do this and why we couldn't do this. And maybe the appropriate slogan there is "no, we can't," because they face a lot of challenges. The other thing about leaders is that there's intense scrutiny. They are really scrutinizing. They are like in a spotlight on a daily basis.
You're talking about the stressors for a leader,
of a political leader,
current,
and also the ones who are vying.
Yes, especially in our situation in Kenya.
Yes.
So one of it is making all these huge promises.
Yes, we can.
The "yes, we can," or however it's put. Inawezekana. Everybody says I will do this. Mm-hmm. The huge promises.
In their agendas.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes one wonders whether it's just good big words or it's true. Because if it's just words, then it shouldn't be a stressor. But if it's true, they mean it, they want to do all these things that they promise us, I can see why that is a stressor.
I think that with all the effort that they put, I think they mean it.
So then it's a stressor, stressor.
It's a high stressor. I think they mean it, because for them, they're imagining, when I go to the office, I'll be able to do one or two or three things or four, and we'll look at what some of the limitations could be. And then they get into the office and they realize things might not work the same way they work, maybe in their homes or the offices that they have just left.
Or on paper.
On paper. Or they realize they don't have as much control as they thought they would have.
Mm.
Yes. And one of the things, even as we discuss that, remember, like the leaders in the devolution system, they have all these plans, make big hospitals, make good schools, make all that. And then budget time comes and they realize they can't get enough money to do what they want to do. And then even when they get the money, it's not they don't get it on time. I don't know whether you've noticed, so every so often the governors who are always coming back, give us money on time, because people are threatening not to work. Mm-hmm. They can't provide what they plan to provide. So that's very stressful, because you want to do it, but there's a lot of bureaucracy and there are so many challenges and obstacles to doing that which you want to. So what you realize is that you have limited influence over the things that you want to do.
Because and that causes stress.
That is stressful.
All right. Okay.
And then our leaders, one of the other things is that they do work long working hours. And mm-hmm. this is one of the things that we'll be looking at as when we are looking at promotion of mental health. And the other thing is intimidation and bullying. I don't know whether you've noticed of late, because of social media and the freedom of speech, how much intimidation and bullying goes on towards our leaders.
a lot.
And this has a huge psychological impact on the the leaders, and especially the politicians. You say something today, somebody will make a cartoon out of it, somebody will okay, Kenyans, we are very creative, we'll come up with something and you'll wonder, is that what they understood? So there's a lot of bullying and a lot of intimidation.
But I thought these people have a thick, thick skin by the time you run for office.
You may have a thick skin, but it's something that maybe you're not prepared for. You expect as a leader to be respected. You expect as a leader for people to want to listen to you and not to criticize. But I think the level of intimidation and bullying in Kenya, I think, has reached quite a high level that even the thought of wanting to be a leader, you'd want to think twice.
I know.
Yes, you'd want to think twice.
Especially in the political arena.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And there's also a threat to life.
Yeah.
You saw what happened recently where there was an attack during a meeting where people had to flee because something was thrown in the dais which could have exploded. So their security is also something of concern. And then, of course, there's the dealing continuously with people and their problems. You want to become a leader, you'll have to know about my medical issues, my issues about school fees, and all other issues. When somebody dies in my family, you have to be involved. Just because you want, especially because you want my vote this time round and maybe the next time round. There's too much to deal with. Mm. And then also, right now, because the electoral cycle is almost coming to an end, mm-hmm. there are many of the leaders whose jobs, who are anxious about job loss. Because after the elections, they may not retain their jobs and they may not know what to do.
And they may not win.
And they may not win. So there's also a lot of anxiety in relation to that. And also, in addition to that, there's the job insecurity. You are a leader in the office, you're a governor, and then you are impeached. That is stress. Or you're always in court because of one thing or another. That in itself is stress. So the life of a leader, a public health leader, or a public leader, or a political leader, especially in Kenya right now, I don't think I envy them. Yeah, I don't think I envy them. So now that we have discussed some of the stresses, I'm sure there are a lot more stresses. How does a leader know that they are under stress that they are not coping with? Mm. Most of these are what we call symptoms. It is them who feel them. But us, we might observe when it's a bit too late. Or the people around them might observe when it's a bit too late. But what happened, the psychological symptoms of stress are excess anxiety. Anxiety about maybe the meetings, anxiety about what people will do, anxiety about what people will say. There's also increased anger and frustration. I think, and that we have seen in some of the forums that we have been listening to. And there's overreaction to petty annoyances, there's hostility.
Where have I laughed? Increased anger and what?
Increased anger.
And irritation, is that what you say?
Frustration.
Oh, and frustration.
Yeah, but there's also increased hostility.
Okay.
And people being very irritable.
Irritability.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Somebody says something and the next thing is somebody else is replying to what they have said because they are angry at what has just been said. Then if a leader at whatever forum finds himself having an increase or a decrease in appetite, that's something to tell them they are stressed. Their stress is not normal. Or they are gaining weight or losing weight. They are unable to sleep. They have nightmares and disturbing dreams. If they find themselves having difficulty in concentrating and having racing thoughts and forgetfulness, disorganization and confusion, if they find themselves feeling overwhelmed and having difficulty in making decisions, sometimes they might find themselves having panic attacks where you feel like you're choking, you can't breathe, you're feeling dizzy, and sometimes it becomes an emergency, and reduced work productivity, constantly feeling tired, weak, and fatigue, even having suicidal thoughts because some of the issues concerning the stress actually lead to depression, because the stress affects some of the chemicals in the brain and they can cause depression. When you have somebody actually withdrawing from others and feeling worthless, they start to show little interest in appearance and punctuality and have an increase in number of minor accidents because of loss of concentration. That is an indication that the stress that they're undergoing through is overwhelming them. And also other things like the risky behavior which can be associated with stress, like frequent use of over-the-counter drugs. Sometimes maybe you had an issue, a doctor prescribed a drug maybe to help you to sleep, and now you find going to the counter and asking for the same drug. Then it shows, because you can't sleep, then it shows you could be under a lot of stress and you're not coping. Or increased smoking, alcohol, or drug use. Most of the time people will not admit, but some of the time people cope with stress with drinking and alcohol use. Although if it increases and you ask them, they say, no, I'm okay. But that's how sometimes it can also get to the level of addiction. And for those who gamble, and I'm sure sometimes you have noticed when some people are stressed, they actually go out and do impulsive buying just to soothe themselves. So now that we have covered the psychological
I'm wondering, these symptoms, are they symptoms for stress that one can't handle, or are they symptoms of mental health disorder?
When now, as you've already realized, even the mental health disorders, for the diagnosis to be made, it's through symptoms. You come, you tell me you're feeling sad. You come and tell me you're feeling fatigue. You're not eating well. You're not sleeping well.
And I'm having strange dreams.
Or I'm also finding myself drinking too much. When I do an assessment, most likely I'll find you're suffering from depression. So the mental disorder is a depression. But the depression is diagnosed from the symptoms.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is not just about leaders. This is the general symptoms anyone would present with, and you think we need to investigate.
Yes.
All right.
It's everybody. But the reason why we want to alert leaders is because sometimes they ignore all these and think they are doing well, but they are not doing well. And at the end of the day, you find somebody. You find somebody in such a difficult situation that even as a leader, they're not really productive. Or you might all of a sudden hear somebody has killed themselves.
And you're wondering what happened.
And you wonder, but we thought you were a leader. We thought you were doing well. Or they have become addicted. Or as even you're saying, they even have now medical disorders that can be diagnosed, like the severe depression, anxiety disorders, bipolar, borderline personality disorders. Yeah, so that's why we are talking about the early symptoms that we should take care of and maybe seek for help before now they become worse disorders or severe disorders, to say. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and remember at the beginning, I'd say the chronic stress is also associated with physical diseases. So you may start with the psychological ones, but not really be concerned about them. And some of the physical diseases associated or precipitated by stress, boy, you'll be very surprised. Things like diabetes, things like hypertension, heart attacks, asthmatic attacks, headaches and migraines. Cancer.
How?
One of the things that...
all the others, I guess, even a layman like myself might see the connection, but cancer?
Cancer. In fact, I'd want maybe you to think about the few people you know who have had cancer and you really knew them well. And if you were to ask them, have you been going through stress? They'll admit yes. Because what cancer does is that... Okay, before we get to cancer. So what stress does, remember I talked about the cortisol and all that?
Yes.
It affects your immune system.
Oh.
And the immune system has a way of fighting any cancer cells. So you can imagine if the immune system is affected by your stress. So it's not as effective as fighting the cancer cells that may be in your body as if you are not stressed.
Oh.
And that's how cancer comes in.
Okay.
Yes. And even other autoimmune diseases like lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, they're all related to stress.
Mm.
And that's why we are saying, can we take care of our stress before it causes diseases?
Every time or sometimes? But I think maybe it's important to ask that question. Every time or sometimes?
If I what they say, what the literature says is that about 75 to 95% of people visiting doctors' offices have issues related to stress.
Yeah. 75 to 95.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Have issues related to stress.
Yeah.
And that's why now we should be very careful how we handle our stress and not ignore stress.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
And the issues of stress become also now a financial burden.
Oh, yeah.
A big financial burden.
So then it's a vicious cycle.
It becomes a vicious
cycle. Because that now then gets you stressed again.
You get stressed more. Maybe you don't even have insurance to help you out. You have to depend on others. It can become a very difficult issue. And that's why let's manage stress.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's manage stress. Mm-hmm. Yes, let's manage stress. I see we have just a few minutes before we need to take a break. And let me ask this before we take the break and then come back. Can you look at yourself and the way you handle stress and decide this thing of public leadership, especially seeing how what public leadership, the stressors that accompany it, maybe that's not for me. Do you think that someone can say that?
You might get away with that and run away from that, but there's nowhere where there's no stress. So even as you run away from that, I mean, even your profession as a pastor, I'm sure there's a lot of stress.
You ask Paul.
Yes, we ask Paul.
He wrote the stressors.
Yes. Yeah, so there's no way where I think you'll be stress-free.
True.
So the most important thing is how do we enhance our systems, our mind, our mental health, our mindset, so that we can cope with stress. I think that's the most important thing.
That's the most important.
It will come, but how do you handle it?
All right.
And that's why I think what we'll be discussing maybe in the next session.
All right.
Yes.
There are people, also before we take the news highlights at 12, there are people that have been saying that all, especially the public, the high offices, president, deputy president, governors, that these offices that are really for elective offices, that perhaps people should first be checked or assessed for mental health to be found fit. What do you think? First of all, you are a doctor. You are first and foremost a medical doctor, and then a mental health clinician. So from those two levels, what do you think? Should we go assessing people's mental health before we can elect them?
That's a very tricky thing. You know, for somebody to want to come for an assessment, they have to feel it, to know it's important in the first place. Not unless they have done something that requires the law or the court to mandate them to come for the assessment. And you find more often than not, the same leaders might not even be aware they have issues. And that's why I think this forum is important for them to start here listening and get to know they have issues. Because most of them, even if you tell them they have depression, one thing is they might deny. Secondly, there's also treatment. So there's no way that we should refuse them to get into office because there's treatment for that. It's not that they are going to be depressed forever.
Yeah, true.
And even just helping them to sort out the issue. So it's for them to want to be assessed rather than us pushing for them to be assessed.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Back to our discussion. So please do use that line for your WhatsApp message to reach to us. You can ask a question. You can also make a comment that regards the topic of today's leadership forum, which is the mind of a leader and then the mental health of a leader. 0717 400 555.
Third John 1:2. Where John prays for his brothers or for those under him or those he associates with to prosper in good health, even as our souls prosper. Because we could be prospering on our souls, the spiritual, but maybe our mental health and our physical health, which are all both related, are not prospering. And even as we look at ways to promote our mental health, we'll also look at maybe more of this. We'll start with the general, but we'll also be able to also look at spiritual aspects of it. So I'll start with the general, which any one of us can apply. And wherever you are a leader, whether you're a political leader, a public leader, leader, wherever you're working, one of the things that we need to do is have at least one full day off each week. I wonder how possible it is for many people, and especially our public leaders and also our politicians, and especially also those leading in the church. I think it's something that they need to take seriously.
One day off, completely off.
Yes, from work. Remember, even the Bible says keep your Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath is actually taking time to take care of yourself. Yes.
To so rest. This day... Let's just look at that day again. There's some people who think they have an off day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but they are busy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are off the office, it's that just that they didn't go to the office,
mm-hmm.
but they went to the shop. Is that an off day? They went to sell.
They went to their biashara.
You know, the outside hustle. These Kenyans,
the outside hustle. What one realizes is. And I think this will be, people will give evidence. You start off your week on Monday, and the following Monday, you're still working another week. Do you know before long, your body actually starts telling you there's something not quite right?
Yes.
There's something not quite right. You find yourself, you're not sleeping well. You find yourself a bit distressed, overwhelmed, and all that. Because your body, which was made by the Creator, He also said, rest your body. Yes. So I think it's important.
Is a change as good as a rest? I think that's my question. There are people who think, because I didn't go to the office, let's use me. I didn't go to church. I did not minister. I did not see all these people I need to see. And I did not go to the studio. But I went someplace and used my time working a totally different environment. Let's even say I went and did some shamba, some gardening. Is that good?
That is good because mm-hmm. now you know in gardening, it's more of exercise. You're using now more of your physical. It's not your mind.
Okay.
That is always under constant stress, under constant things that I need to do this, I need to pay this, I need to settle this and all that. When you're in the shamba, in fact, a shamba is a good place to go and rest because it's very, very natural environment and you're doing more of your physical.
How and about a business? If someone has a business?
Business is not the same. Business, you use a lot of your mind.
So
business,
it's what uses the mind.
What uses the mind, you need to rest.
You need rest.
Especially what uses the mind.
All right.
But even the physical, mm-hmm. the attempts that you need to take a break from the physical. Because even a farmer doesn't go to the farm every day. You also need to rest their muscles every so
even
often.
Even the muscle needs some rest.
They need to,
All right.
But because the mind gets affected, equally as much as the physical, but we somehow know how to get away from the physical but not the mind. Yeah. Then the other thing is, and this one I'm sure people will ask questions, work no more than 8 hours a day.
Okay. Okay.
So when you leave your office, leave behind your work in the office and go home and concentrate on your family and that which needs to be concentrated on. And the reason why this is important is we are also social beings. And because of work, our families get neglected. Mm. And the neglect of our families, especially children, has a big impact on them. There's what has been called adverse childhood experiences, where we are not, children are not getting enough emotional support from their parents. They're not getting enough attention from their parents. And they are left to the media, to house helps, and to anybody else taking care of them. And no wonder after a while, you're wondering, why has my child changed? They have changed because of the impact of the rest of the world and not the, because and the lack of the help that they need from their parents. So it's important to leave our work behind and concentrate on the family in the evening. The other thing is, which is also biblical, take time to practice gratitude. Remember the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Because when you concentrate on giving thanks, you actually stop complaining. And complaining has a way of just keeping us not in good health. Because we are always looking like for the negative. But once you start appreciating the positive, it actually boosts your morale. And in fact, most of the time when you're doing therapy, and somebody, all they are seeing is failure in their life. Sometimes you want to ask them, are there things in your life that are positive that you can be grateful for? And maybe it's one thing in their life that is making them feel like they are a failure. Maybe a job, or maybe an exam, or maybe a relationship. And all they are seeing is, I'm a failure, and that is very depressive. If you told them, the same person, to write things that they are grateful for and things that are positive in their life, you might find a list of 20 beside this one. And so you want them to focus on the 20 and not this one. Because even in the one, there's help. But they can't see the help. They can't see because they are clouded by the negatives, the negative failure. So it's important to practice gratitude. The other thing that you also, as you were saying, exercise. We need to exercise. Exercise is good for our health. Exercise is also good for our body image. And exercise is good also for even just mental health, resilience. And even when people come with depression and anxiety and all that, sometimes one of the prescriptions we give them is just go and exercise. It helps it improves your body capacity.
So does that mean in a gym, or you can do your own?
Anything.
Your own, you know, at your level.
You know, one of the things I keep on remembering is our grandparents and our parents didn't have gyms. But they are the most fit people because they walked.
They walked a lot.
Yes, they walked a lot. And they did a lot of physical things in the shamba and at home. But because, I think the gyms have come because we drive. You leave your office, 2 minutes you're in the car, 1 minute, and the rest of the places you're driving. So we kind of lead a very sedentary life, which is also not good for our physical health and also now for our psychological health, because exercises help. So that's why the gyms have come up. But if you can walk, do any other exercises, you can actually do some of those exercises at home. With internet, they provide a lot of exercises so that one doesn't give an excuse that they don't have the finances to go to the gym. With internet, there's a lot of help. The other thing I want us to do, which is very important in when we are stressed, you know, when you are stressed, we are all tensed up, is to be able to relax your muscles. And one of the ways to relax your muscles is to do what we call deep breathing exercises. And those who are listening, maybe I can tell them to do, and they can give us a feedback of the experience. In the deep breathing exercises, what you do is you close your eyes so that you're focusing on the now. You know, when you are stressed, you are not focusing on the now. So you want us to focus on the now.
Okay.
You close your eyes and feel your air getting in and out. So as we close our eyes, we are going to do a count of four. Deep breath in, a count of five. Then we hold out that breath. Then a count of five to expire. And then a count of five to hold. So it's like a box. In, five, count of five. Hold, a count of five. Out.
It also depends on your speed of counting. Can you count for Let me try this. Let me close my eyes.
Mm-hmm. And you make sure you're so relaxed that your feet are, you can actually feel your feet on the ground.
Must I be standing or sitting?
It's good to sit currently, so that you can relax.
So now I'm seated.
It's relaxing.
All right.
So you're closing your eyes.
Mm-hmm. My feet where?
On the ground.
All right.
Feel the feet on the ground. If you want to remove your shoes, you can remove so that you're feeling them nicely.
Okay.
The ground nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to count. Let's start. We are going to start by taking a deep breath in.
Okay.
And counting five.
Okay.
In, one, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Out. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. And it had better be a deep breath. Not a shallow breath, deep breath, such that I can see you. Yes. So you're going to do it again. We are going to do five times.
I was doing very well.
Yes. No, it's because I need to see you. I need to see the activity.
Oh, you need to see
that it's deep.
So what was the problem with what I did?
I think you're just taking a normal breath.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay, let's
You're taking a normal breath and
okay,
count.
Okay, I'll take a deep breath. One. Okay.
Okay. So deep breath. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Exhale. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Deep breath. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Exhale. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Deep breath. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Exhale. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Deep breath. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Exhale. One, two, three, four, five. Hold. One, two, three, four, five. Let's do the last one. Deep breath. One, two, three, four, five. Hold it. One, two, three, four, five. Exhale. One, two, three, four, five. And hold. One, two, three, four, five. You may open your eyes.
Oh, that was real.
Yes, because most of the time we are thinking about the past or the future. And yet when you concentrate on the moment, you're able to relax and think, okay, fine, what's happening to me right now?
Yes.
What is stressing me?
I felt the muscles relax.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I was feeling like doing something
else
to my hands, yes, so that they are not on the desk. Mm-hmm. All right.
And with that, on YouTube, there are a lot of stress relaxation exercises that one can do, even to get to a point where you're concentrating on the moment, because it helps you think much more better than when you are stressed, when you are anxious, and remember the irritations, the annoyance and all that. You can actually get, like, even when you're angry, just do that and then ask yourself questions. Why am I feeling angry? Instead of responding to the person that might have made you angry, because we respond and make issues worse. But just taking a deep breath or just counting 1 to 10 helps us to focus on the moment and ask yourself questions. Why am I feeling different?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? And that's also part of reflection. One of the other things that we all know is that we need to eat a balanced diet and drink a lot of water. And when you're feeling tired or run down or vulnerable to illness, slow down. Don't push yourself. We know people who have pushed themselves when they are not feeling quite right. And the next thing is a heart attack. And you wonder, what happened? And we've heard of many heart attacks, especially among our leaders.
When you say not feeling well, what do you mean? What is this that I can feel and I need to slow down?
You might feel you're feeling very tired. Your body is feeling tired and needs a rest. In fact, I know people who have had to be admitted to the hospital because nobody could figure out what the issues are. And at the end of the day, they just realize this person is tired, and maybe that's the first time somebody's realizing because of your stresses, you have high blood pressure, because maybe you're also feeling like things like you're actually aware that you're not breathing as well as you used to breathe. Remember I talked about panic attacks?
Yes, yes.
Or you're just having some headaches that you're ignoring. You know, in fact, in the medical profession, we say pain is a good sign. Because it's one of the things that make people go to the hospital the fastest. But you could be having other things. You're not feeling yourself. You're not feeling as active as you are. You're not sleeping well. You're not eating well. You're not feeling as energetic as you are. It's good to slow down and find out what is happening and get back to your normal. Because you'll be pushing yourself, and maybe these are stress-related issues, and you keep on pushing yourself and you keep on pushing yourself till your body starts now dictating. You need to rest. You need to rest. Because maybe you can now hardly wake up. You don't want to dress. You're just tired. You're irritable. Yes. So there are times that we need to slow down.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even with that, people need to remember there's something called an annual leave. It's given for a reason. It's given for a reason. And while at work, it's also good to take a brief break every 2 hours.
Oh.
Yes. Stretch out.
Now, this is during the day.
Yeah.
My normal day.
Your normal day.
After every two hours.
Stand up, take a break.
What's a break during that time?
Just take a walk.
Oh.
Go outside.
For how long?
Maybe for 10 minutes and all. Because remember, we are sitting the whole day. That's also not good for your... your circulation.
So I take a short walk around.
A short walk around, breathe fresh air, then come back.
For 10 minutes.
Yeah, because
that would be okay.
You're sitting down and maybe you're doing things that are very stressful. You need to give your mind a break from these things. And most of the time you are looking at computers. Computers are also not the best thing as far as our minds are concerned.
Yes,
the screen.
Yes, yeah.
So it's good to take a break and just walk out and then come back. And you find you'll be more productive. Yeah. The other important thing is surround yourself with positive people. Right now, I think we are hearing about a lot of negative people, and most of us don't even want to switch on the TV. It's too much negativity.
True.
So it's good to surround yourself with friends and family who are positive, because it's good for your support system. And also with that, it's important to have people in your life whom you can tell how you're feeling. Share your feelings. We find most of the people might say this is a weakness, but it's a strength. Because when we do not allow other people to help us with difficult issues, then we might find eventually we have a burnout or a breakup. And everybody was like, I thought they were managing. And chances are they were not managing. They were just seated. And that's why most of the time people get so shocked when somebody commits suicide. They were like, I thought they were managing. So it's important for all of us to be vulnerable. Get somebody, get a friend, get a relative whom you can actually talk issues of that are distressing you. Because talking itself makes the kind of the burden lighter, and they might also have a solution. And then it's like you're releasing something that you're bottling in. And that's why you find women don't suffer as much depression and issues as men. Because men find it very difficult to share. But women find it very easy to share. And that's why they are more healthier, especially men in some issues of the mental health. Then the other thing is let go of grudges and forgive. We are having a lot of grudges that we are hearing on TV. And just the ability to forgive is important. People find it very difficult to forgive, and yet the word of God says forgive. Others that you need to look at is, remember we have said mental health issues are also related to physical health. It's important to have annual medical checkup, especially when you get to the age of 40. Seems like a lot of diseases show up then because of maybe the chronic stress. And people have been found to have cancer, like men, prostate cancer, women, cervical cancer, breast cancer, just on an annual checkup. So it's important to go for annual checkup. And then if in case one is experiencing symptoms of psychological stress, as we had discussed, look for a therapist. It's not a weakness. You need the help. From the Christian perspective, I'm going to look at just a few issues. Philippians 4:6. Remember, we have talked about a lot of anxiety. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, you remember, in anxiety we have no peace, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. I find this is very therapeutic. This is very therapeutic. Because when you turn your focus from the anxiety, and you know anxiety is because you have no control. Mm. That's why you're anxious. To God who has control.
Wow.
And it's your focus is confirming your trust in God. I have no control, but I trust you as God. I find God is so faithful to keep his word when you actually do whatever he says. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's almost automatic that you get the peace that he has promised. This peace that surpasses all human understanding. And remember, it says, the peace that guards your heart and your mind. And these are the two areas that experience anxiety. When you're anxious, you can actually feel it. Your heart
yes.
races,
mm-hmm.
and your mind has no peace. The other thing is the word of God from Romans 12:2. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Remember, we were talking about the negative thoughts, thoughts that cause distress, thoughts that don't help build us up. And the reason why I like this Bible verse is like it's a Bible verse that is also connected to Psalms 1, 2 to 3. A person who delights in the law of the Lord, that's the word of God, and who meditates on God's law day by night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. And for me, that's very important in mitigating stress. Because when you renew your mind, you're renewing your mind with the word of God. And the God, as we said again, who is our creator, knows what we need. And that's why it's in his word. So when you use the word of God and obey it and meditate on it, you become like a tree planted by the stream of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. And is that what mental health and physical health is all about?
True.
And then, of course, prayer. Ephesians 6, it is say, pray on all occasions and with all kinds of prayer and requests. And that's, again, focusing our attention on God. And, of course, seeking the wisdom of God. And this is from James 1, 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that who gives all men liberally, and he'll give it to you. Because some of the things that stress us is because we lack wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, worship. The music that you've been putting here. You know, the word of God says, God dwells in the praise of his people. So when we praise and worship, the darkness around us also has a way of diffusing. Now, because I know time is running out, I'll want to let the listeners know that there's a way you can assess yourself as far as your mental health is concerned. If one goes to Google, and Google Mental Health Continuum is a short form that identifies positive mental health.
You say they Google what?
Mental Health Continuum. Short form.
Okay.
It asks you questions about how good have you been feeling the last month, how well you are functioning. It evaluates your emotional well-being, psychological well-being, and social functioning. At the end of the day, it gives you a category. You could be in the flourishing category where you have high positive emotion and high positive functioning, and that's where we want to be. It can tell you are languishing. If you are languishing, you are low positive emotions and low positive functioning. If it tells you moderate, it's neither flourishing and languishing. And once you open that link, you just fill it up and it gives you where you're at.
Mm.
So it helps you. So if you are find yourself languishing and you're experiencing low positive emotions and low positive functioning, then maybe you need somebody to help you.
Mm.
If you're moderate, then maybe you also need help to get to high positive emotions and high positive functioning. Because remember what we said, mental health is a state of well-being whereby individuals recognize and realize their abilities, are able to cope with normal stresses of life, work productively and fruitfully, and make a contribution to their community. So you can only be able to do this well if you're flourishing. The other assessment that one can do is what is called a perceived stress scale.
Mm-hmm.
To know your stress level. It asks you questions about how often you have been upset, unable to control yourself, felt nervous. Most of the symptoms that we were dealing with, it asks you how often that you have experienced them. And it gives you a scale. If you find your scale in the region of 0 to 13, you are on a low stress level, which most likely you can cope. If you find yourself in the range of 14 to 26, you're moderate stress and you need to do something about it. Remember all the things we have said you need to do. And if it's ranging from 27 to 40, you are high perceived stress. And remember, you need to work on it before now it starts developing to the physical and the mental health disorders. And then the things that we have discussed about to promote health, you can actually promote mental health. You can actually assess yourself where you are at using the self-care and lifestyle balance inventory. This is under Headington Institute, an inventory under Headington Institute. Self-care and lifestyle balance inventory, where you look at, remember all those things I have said,
mm-hmm.
about 20-something, that you assess them. And you assess them according to, do you do them never, seldom, sometimes, often, or almost always? And when you assess yourself, you check the total score, and the lower the score shows very low levels of self-care. Scores of 0 to 29. Scores of 30 to 59 is a moderate level of self-care. 60 to 84 is where you want to be. So what you do at the end of it after you have assessed yourself is look at two or three things that you need to improve in your self-care, maybe every so often, so that you can get to that high level of self-care.
Self-care is what the list we had before.
The
list of one full day of
and all that.
Taking your annual leave.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So you assess yourself using this inventory.
Okay.
Yeah, so it helps you to know where you are at and what you are missing out.
Okay.
Yes.
Dr. Jane Miner, she is a clinical psychologist. She's also a medical doctor and a consultant on mental health with Catalade, where Bishop David Oginde is the founder. Have a blessed week ahead, and thank you for being part of our time together today on Leadership Forum. I'm Omwe Boro.
Join us next week, same time, for another episode of the Leadership Forum.